Before I start today's episode, I want to tell you all about a podcast I've been listening to for years. This is not sponsored or anything, I just had to share my love for them right away. True Crime Obsessed is a podcast that covers true crime documentaries in the most hilarious, yet still respectful way. Jillian and Patrick are some of my favorite humans on this earth, and they inject their own personal brand of awesome into every episode. My personal favorite episode is probably Jesus Camp, but they are all unique in their own way. Find them wherever you listen and enjoy Patrick's scream and Jillian's sass. Welcome to another episode of Teen Fiction, a podcast where I, your host, talk about books, movies, and TV for tweens and teens. From animated fantasy to freeverse to feel-good movies, the list goes on. Here, there's something for everybody. So this week I will be covering the TV show Schitt's Creek, which if you haven't seen, go watch it right now. Seriously, go. I'm advocating for you to go and abandon this podcast right now in hopes of you getting addicted on Schitt's Creek. And right at the top, just to clarify, it's spelled S-C-H-I-T-T-S Creek. I will be going at this episode alone, but trust me, it will be packed full of honest opinions and maybe even my Moira impression. Maybe. Probably not. My family says it's good, but A, they are biased, and B, it has been going downhill since we finished watching. Schitt's Creek began airing on January 13th, 2015, and it ended on April 7th, 2020. It has six whole seasons for your viewing pleasure, and I love each and every last one of them. Schitt's Creek description reads, a wealthy couple, video store magnate Johnny and his soap opera star wife Moira, suddenly find themselves completely broke. With only one remaining asset, a small town called Schitt's Creek, which the Roses bought years earlier as a joke, this once wealthy couple must give up life as they know it. With their two spoiled children in tow and their pampered lives behind them, the Rose family is forced to face their newfound poverty head-on and come together as a family to survive. As I understand it, the family was defrauded by their business manager and have nowhere else to go except Schitt's Creek, which is the town that Johnny bought as a gag gift. They moved into a motel in two adjacent rooms, and then they start their new life. If you've seen Schitt's Creek, pretty much nothing else beats it, but you also might like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and The Good Place. This show is a 10 out of 10, easy. I've never given a show a 10 out of 10 before, so this is a pretty special occasion. It is definitely 12 and up, so this is for the older teens and adults listening. If you're on the fence or pretty desensitized to quite a lot like I am, check out some reviews online before watching. This is one of the best shows on Netflix and quite up there on great TV shows in general. I was actually worried about covering Schitt's Creek when I'm still new at podcasting since I have to do it justice. So I'm going to start off with the characters. The main characters are Johnny Rose, the dad, Moira Rose, the mom, David Rose, the son, and Alexis Rose, the daughter. Johnny Rose is an ideal father, in my opinion. He supports his kids, he means well, and he says things like, tweet us on Facebook. He's also never seen without a suit. Ever. Ever. I can't remember a single time I saw him without a perfectly tailored suit. I'd classify him as the most normal and put-together of the Roses. On the opposite end of that spectrum, there's Moira Rose. Where do I even begin with her? The actress who plays Moira, Catherine O'Hara, made remarkable character choices with her. Especially, yes, her accent. She's such a unique way of speaking, but yet, at the same time, it fits her perfectly. Moira is a star, and she won't let you forget it for a second. She says things like, David, stop acting like a disgruntled pelican. That was terrible. That was awful. That leads us to David. He's probably my favorite character, and that really says something when all the characters are top-notch. His fashion sense is better than mine could ever be, his one-liners are incredibly underrated compared to Moira's, and he likes to wear white 60s-style sunglasses. Also, he constantly stands like he's a marionette doll on strings, which works perfectly since he's so uptight. A memorable David quote is, I have never heard someone say so many wrong things, one after the other, consecutively, in a row. Eugene Levy, who plays Johnny Rose, and Dan Levy, who plays David, are, in fact, father and son in real life. I wonder what it must be like to work with family on set. No offense to my family listening, but I don't think it would go very well. Finally, there's Alexis. The best Schitt's Creek quote of all time is handed to her right off the bat with the simple, yet effective, Ew, David! She dresses like she's constantly about to jet off to Japan, Paris, or some other high-class place where she doesn't have to be around her family. Annie Murphy, the actress who plays Alexis, self-described the peculiar hand motions she does as a T-Rex playing the piano at an old-timey saloon, unquote, which perfectly encapsulates the position. There are other major side characters as well, like Roland and Jocelyn Schitt. Yes. That is something I just said. Roland is the mayor and Jocelyn is his wife. Roland, as I like to say, is the weird uncle at Thanksgiving that tries to deep fry a turkey in the backyard to impress the nieces and nephews and then ends up burning the house down. So you pretty much know all you need to know about him right there. Jocelyn is a perfectly nice woman who seems like she would be happy with some knitting needles and coffee. Together, they make the ultimate couple destined to annoy Johnny and Moira Rose until they leave Schitt's Creek entirely. Next, there's Stevie. Stevie is a clerk at the motel where the Roses are staying, and she reluctantly takes David under her wing to show him how things are done in Schitt's Creek. Stevie is such a great character. She's a ride-or-die friend who literally wouldn't hesitate to bury a body with you. There's also Twyla, spelled T-W-Y-L-A, which I think is a great name, but my mom disagrees with me on that. Twyla is the type of girl who will randomly reveal interesting little tidbits about her past that really makes you concerned for her general welfare. Twyla takes Alexis up under her wing, even though Alexis is pretty annoyed with Twyla at first. She doesn't really stack up to Alexis's friends in terms of fashion and money, but she turns out to be a true friend. The actress who plays Twyla, Sarah Levy, is also a part of the Levy family. Levy, Levy, I'm not sure which it is, but it's one of those. Schitt's Creek is definitely a family production. So there are a whole bunch of other characters like Mutt-Schitt, Roland and Jocelyn's son, who Alexis gets into a love triangle with, Ronnie, the fearsome lady who is always snapping at Moira, Ted, the other side of the love triangle, not side, more like corner of the love triangle. He's just a nice guy, and not a nice guy, but an actual, genuinely, he's a kind person. Patrick, who David falls for in the later seasons, and Bob, the nice old man who probably gives out cookies. All of them bring a little something to the show that makes it truly magical to watch. Dare I say, it's like Gilmore Girls, but better. Yes, this is the second episode in a row I've brought up Gilmore Girls, but that's because it's an excellent comparison and still holds up terrifically. Any show with an adorable town always brings out the feels in me, because look how picturesque everything is. I know a lot of people feel the same way, and that's part of what makes a show great, the escape from reality factor. Another thing I want to mention besides the setting and the characters is the plot. Obviously, the plot of a TV series is vital, especially when it has 6 seasons. With certain shows, you eventually reach a point where it jumps the shark. If you don't know what jumping the shark means, it's where a TV show reaches a point at which far-fetched events are included merely for the sake of novelty, indicative of a decline in quality. Or instead of it jumping the shark, every episode has the same formula, the same routine in every episode, to the point where it becomes monotonous? It becomes boring to watch. Schitt's Creek has none of that. Every episode is engaging, quality material that explores a different part of life in the town. I was never bored watching, and I never got the feeling that events had gone past the point of no return. This is partly because of the characters who, duh, liven up every episode, but I seriously admire the Schitt's Creek scriptwriters, who, they truly never fail to come up with the wacky hijinks to place the characters in. The general concept of the show is unique as well. Dan Levy slash Levy, co-creator and the man who plays David, says that he came up with the idea for Schitt's Creek after watching reality TV. Would the Kardashians still be the Kardashians without their money? Unquote. That is such an interesting question. To me, everyone needs money, obviously. The saying money can't buy happiness is so frustrating, and it's partly true, but money can buy basic necessities and other things that make life worth living. I feel as if that's a saying invented by rich people. In Schitt's Creek, they explore all the ways money can't buy happiness. Alexis's aloof, richer-than-rich friends? Not so nice. Money and meanness are their defining characteristics. David's fashion? Important. Vital. Starts his own business to help others with it. The way they slowly evolve throughout the seasons is so subtle, you barely even notice it's happened until you're clutching the remote and it's over. You'd think, and this might be true if the stars hadn't aligned and Schitt's Creek didn't have the cast and crew that it did, that it would be a quicker change that would throw the characters into more predictable situations. However, that is definitely not the case. Okay. To move on from the plot a little, one of the technical things I liked about the show was the opening theme. If you haven't seen it, it's like 15 seconds or maybe even less, but it perfectly encapsulates what Schitt's Creek is. It's simple, classy, and if you hadn't spent hours coming up with the perfection that it is, the theme would have never came to be. I'm the type of person who is a diehard opening credits fan. Ask anyone in my family. I sing along to the Gilmore Girls theme every time it comes on. I belt out the Fuller House, yes, Fuller House, not Full House, theme. And I duet with my brother on the Nick show, The Thundermans. Schitt's Creek is an instrumental with a simple title screen and three colors, but even a theme connoisseur such as myself can appreciate the hard work that must have gone into it. I also love the costumes, especially Moira and David's. They're true fashionistas, eat your heart out, Alexis, though Johnny does a fine job with his tailored suits. Okay, so maybe they are all quite fashionable. You don't live with that much money and not manage to gain at least a little bit of style. But Moira and David's costumes deserve a special shout-out. David wears mostly neutral and darker tones with an extra heavy pile of sweaters and statement accessories. You can bet your bottom dollar that as soon as the sun rises, okay, more like 10 a.m., he's hunting the town for the most high-end clothing he can find for the best price. Then there's Moira. There's so much to say about her outfits, I barely even know where to start. Moira has a lot of dresses, also in darker tones, and is a sucker for a fancy hat. And by fancy, I do mean fancy. These are not your grandma's hats. These are fancy. She's the type of woman who likes to wear 4-inch Manolos to a casual dinner with friends. Also, did you know Manolos is spelled M-A-N-O-L-O-S? I thought it was just Manolos with 3 O's. Anyway, and good on her, too. Of course, there are her wigs. I would literally never forgive myself if I forgot to spend 11 hours talking about her wigs. I think they all have names. She's like 40 all over the walls of her room, like animal skins and furs in a sketchy restaurant. Although, no shade if you have, a deer head in your room right now. Moira would rather save her wigs than Alexis in a house fire if it came down to it. Wigs are honestly such a high point in fashion. I've never worn them, but they are a serious fashion statement that everyone really appreciates. Moira looks like a different person each time she wears a wig. It's like she's a member of the royal family. She never wears the same wig twice. Okay, I'm finished with my wig tirade for Moira right now. For now. I might come back to it. So, Schitt's Creek is an amazing show. You've probably gathered that by now. It helped me through quarantine like no other show did, and I'm not alone in that statement. I watched a Making of Schitt's Creek documentary, and that's where I learned of the dedicated cult following that Schitt's Creek has racked up. I mean, for real. I'm not really into TV fandoms, I'm more into book fandoms, but Schitt's Creek has a serious fan base. It impacted a lot of people in a lot of ways that are hard to replicate and explain. For example, the LGBTQ+ community has really resonated with the fact that David is pansexual. If you happen to not know what that is, it means you are attracted to all genders. Seeing representation is so, so, so important, not just for the LGBTQ+ community, but for people of color, the disability community, and a ton of other communities. It's something that I personally try to strive for in my reading and media consumption in general. Everyone needs to see themselves reflected and see their stories told, no matter if you're a little kid or an adult. And no matter if it's in pages of a book or the screen of your TV. Besides the representation factor, there's something about Schitt's Creek that makes it relatable. Or maybe not relatable, since I highly doubt many people have had their fortunes stolen from them, but the characters are relatable. On the surface, they might not seem that way, but once you peel back the layers, you see something really special in all of them, even the most minor characters. Again, it's hard to explain, but somehow Schitt's Creek did it. Honestly, I give my thanks to the cast and crew for making this and being themselves and coming together to help people laugh and smile in a time where that is rare. To sum up, Schitt's Creek is the best show I've seen this year, period, end of sentence. Everyone needs to see it, talk about it, cry, laugh, scream, it's that good. I really, really hope I persuaded you to watch, but if not, I hope you enjoyed my review. Next time, I will be talking about the novel Minion by John David Anderson. Yes, I got it. Yes, I read it quickly. And yes, I have a ton to say about it. I will be going at that one alone as well, as I just said, so I hope you stick around. This has been the 4th episode of Teen Fiction. Stay jazzy.